Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Now, if I were to refer to people's accent, and I would say people in Scotland have an accent peculiar to the region. Now, I realize that we may think that that could mean odd. But what I'm saying, though, is that I'm really actually not saying it's odd. I'm saying it belongs to the area of Scotland. It's owned by that. That accent is owned there. Now, in the King James Version of 1 Peter, which I'm about to read to you, a passage immediately before what I'm about to read to you, Peter would use a word in Greek that in the King James Version was translated as peculiar. And he would say to them, "You are peculiar people." And he doesn't mean in this that you're odd or eccentric, although they may be. But what he's telling them is they are people that are claimed by God. They are possessed by God. And he will do it within a larger context than I'll read to in a few seconds when I get to the formal portion of the sermon. Now, this Peter passage is not overly long. The whole letter is like six chapters, something like that. So not a lot of words there. And we think it's focused on the topic overall of baptism. It's a baptismal sermon, if you will, baptismal letter. And the letter is written to a community which seems to exist in Asia Minor, what we would now call Turkey. And he's trying to buck them up. He's trying to encourage them. They've gotten a little discouraged over some things that have gone on. Life has dealt them a few blows, and he wants to sort of cheer them up. He wants to help remind them of who they are and whose they are. And he goes to that, and you'll hear it towards the end of the passage, and he'll do this in part by reminding them of their baptism. I'm at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. It's on page 234 of most of the Pew Bibles here in the sanctuary. There's four or five out there that might not be right, but most of them it's 234. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they, that's the non-believers, what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now, the passage that I read from 1 Peter chapter 2, that I quoted the peculiar remark in the more contemporary translation, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And then this peculiar part in King James is translated in our own ears of a people who are God's own possession. That's the community that Peter is talking to in this letter about baptism. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of being chosen, but I like the idea of being peculiar. It does have an element to it that I like and I endorse, and I sit there and go, I don't mind being peculiar, odd, in some kind of way on behalf of God and the world. In England, between about 1550 and 1970 or so, there was various degrees of civil liberty you did not have if you were officially registered as someone who worshipped other than the Church of England. And you were officially shown in the databases of this of England of this time frame as a nonconformist. Would that be cool? I mean, don't you think that'd be cool to be officially called by the government a nonconformist? I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a grade A nonconformist. You know, and but that was what you had to understand. In the England of those 300 or 400 years, to be a follower of Jesus Christ as outside of the Anglican tradition, you had to be a nonconformist. You were peculiar, perhaps in our 21st century idea of what that means. A little odd, a little different, a little willing to be something different than the people around you. Now, this is the situation that Peter is driving at in this letter, because this community has begun to fall on some hard times. They begin to have some suffering, and the suffering is not colon cancer. The suffering is not heart attacks. The suffering is not leprosy. The suffering is persecution for being a follower of Christ in the world. That's the suffering that he's dealing with there. And what does Peter do in this letter? But he reminds them of the importance of their baptism. He reminds them of the importance of their baptism and how it sets them apart and makes them different. Their baptism, you might even say, makes them peculiar in the world they live in. It makes them officially nonconformists in the world that they live in. And I would say to you that that's sort of a tradition that we honestly have. Now, this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We had a celebration here in October and November where we recognized Martin Luther and for attacking the 95 theses. Do I have that right? Lutherans, 95? Okay, 95 theses. And everybody here knows my favorite Lutheran theologian is Bonhoeffer. Okay, now my second favorite Lutheran theologian is Roberta Szyminski. Okay, so my third favorite Lutheran theologian is the big L himself. It's Martin Luther. There you go. Now, Martin Luther would, to him, remembering our baptism was an important element of his theology. He would write, our baptism should be called to our minds again and again, and our faith constantly awakened and nourished by this remembrance, okay? For just as the truth of this divine promise once pronounced over us continues, so our faith in it ought never to cease, our faith in the baptism, by the continual remembrance of the promise made to us in baptism. This is how we must regard baptism and make it profitable to ourselves. When our sins and conscience oppress us, we must strengthen ourselves and take comfort and say, nevertheless, I am baptized. It's this recognition that you have been set apart. You are a chosen people. You are a priesthood of all believers. You're a little peculiar in the world. You are willing to be a nonconformist to what the world says is the important values. And that's the big idea that we want to focus on, is this idea. Now, in this passage, he will remind us that there's this arc this ark that will carry the believers through the storms of life, through the waters of life. He says it pre-tells us a little bit about this baptism. But you are this ark. You are the ark that is going to be helping other people through the stormy elements of life. I want to digress just a little bit from my prepared remarks, but when I went to see Tracy Wood yesterday, with Stuart Wood's wife, and Stuart has colon cancer, most likely, and my message to her was, you are not alone. You are not alone. There is a community of people called Hilltop United Methodist Church. There is a community of people called the Scouting Community at Hilltop that wants to embrace you. Now, I'm using them as an example, because that story could be repeated over and over and over again. You are the ark by virtue of your baptism that says, I'm willing to be different. I'm willing to be a chosen people. I'm willing to be a priesthood of all believers. I'm willing to be peculiar in the world. I'm willing to be a nonconformist to what the world says the values are. And I'm willing to help buoy people like Tracy and Stuart and others along. Baptism is a sign from God to assure the congregation of God's continuing providence, even amid the suffering that comes from that faithfulness. Now, I emphasize to you that the First Peter is not talking about colon cancer, but we could certainly use it that kind of way. But he's talking about the suffering that people in China might experience for virtue of being Christians. It's people in Iraq who might suffer for being Christians. It's people in Pakistan who might, you get the drift. You get the idea there of how it is that that's the kind of suffering that we're talking about. But the important element is to remember this element of we're baptized into a community. And what does this community remind us of? We're baptized into the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the victory over death of Jesus Christ. We're baptized into this community, which has this hopefulness over the nature of what happens. We have basically said, in the words of Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth, we've said, death, where is your sting? We reject the power of death to define us. We reject the power of death to say, this is who we are. And Peter, in this community, is saying, go be peculiar. Go be chosen. Go be different. And take strength from that. Be prepared to be a nonconformist to what the world around you says is important. Now, at the 9 o'clock service, Doug did not know I was going to do this, but I'm going to actually. I need to maybe take two steps here. I've called you forward just a little bit too quick. It's my fault, not yours. So go back and sit down for a second. My fault, not yours. Okay, but I want to come back about this issue of remembering our baptism. Now, part of how you remember your baptism is you remember the words that are said at baptism. And I invite us, every time we do a baptism, I invite us to co-participate in that in order to partly remember your own baptism. We have these banners hanging in here that are made by Sandy Locke, that are to help us remember those that have been baptized here in this church, to remind ourselves of this commitment that we have made to help bring them to faith. And they'll, after 1 year here, they'll go back home. Now, I've got three do questions and one will question. So if my question begins with do, your response is what?
I do.
If the question is one of them, it will be will. My question will be, will, your response is? You guys are good. You guys are really good. All right? I ask, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you continue to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin, to which you say?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Okay, that didn't sound too confident there. Do you accept the freedom?
I do.
There you go. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, races, sexual orientation, and maybe even immigration status? So your response is?
I do.
Okay, now here's where the curveball is. You ready? Okay. Will, according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? And your response is?
I will.
Okay, now Cheryl, she's gleeful on this. She's saying, oh boy, I saw Doug do this at 9 o'clock and I am looking forward to this, because we're gonna throw some water at you so that you can help remember your own baptism. Now the water at 9 o'clock was hot. Nope, not hot anymore. Not hot anymore. But I'll hold it for you and you hold it for me. But I want you to remember your baptism and be thankful. Go ahead there, Cheryl. Did you see how much fun she had doing that? Okay. You get to be a liturgist. You can do this too. I'm going to. I've been told to make sure I get this group over here as well. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Why don't you go over there? And I think Bob Scarborough, he's got too big a smile on his face. Go get him as well. What Peter is saying here is that you need to remember your baptism. Remember your baptism in such a way that you recognize that it makes you a little different than the world around you. Yes, it might even make you peculiar. Yes, it makes you chosen. It sets you aside as chosen people. It says that you're part of the priesthood of all believers. It says that you are willing to be labeled a nonconformist to what the values of the world are. And you know what? You step back on that and say, right on, Cooter man. That's exactly who I am. I'm proud of that. It's a badge of honor that I am prepared to wear. And I am going to do it with joy in all that I do, because I'm going to do that and remember that it's Jesus Christ who has called me to this higher place. And because Jesus calls me to that higher place, I am prepared to go deeper in my relationship with Christ as I build on that. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious, 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 loving God, we keep looking back to this sacred scripture and are reminded in these ancient words guidance that applies to us in our now, in the now where we are located, the now where sometimes we want to conform to the world's values, and instead we are invited to be prepared to be a little different, maybe a lot different than the world around us. Remind us through your grace that this is a calling that takes us to a higher place. Chosen people to be God's hands, to be Christ's hands and Christ's feet in this world. Let us wear that badge with honor and pride. And all of God's children say, Amen. Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106.